15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve the southeastern Pennsylvania area, the state of New Jersey and northern Delaware. On the internet, you can check us out by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. One of the things that I'm always pleased to hear from is our listeners. I'm great when I go to the emails and I'm checking out what they have to say. And in my travels, so many people say, I enjoy what you guys are doing. And our guest last week, Lynn Abraham, certainly made some very important points. And I want to thank Mark Andel, as you know, the founder of the Made in America store, American Made store, and Rich Logis, who's the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and Larkin Connolly from SCORE, and of course, Lynn Abraham, who was the district attorney of Philadelphia for over 18 years between 1991 and 2009. She really did a lot of good work, and she had a lot of great things to say last week. I also want to welcome Steve Smolchinski, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinski, and my goodness, are we going to have a good time today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as always, go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. Ask them to also check us out on the internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And always remember, you can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you'll certainly be doing us a favor because we are doing a lot of work to get private sector businesses back up and running here in the USA. Well, today I'm going to ask our panelists and everyone involved to talk a little bit about the 238th anniversary of America's independence, best known to us as the 4th of July. And as you know, it was back in 1773 that the colonists first showed their hand of dissension by saying their disapproval of the way they were being taxed when they went to the harbor there in Boston and threw the tea over the three ships. And that was the beginning of America's independence. Then for the next few years, we fought it out. And then on the 2nd of July, the final papers were written, the 4th of July came about, and here we are 238 years later, doing our best to promote America. Today, I want to start off with Mark Andel, because I know he was celebrating in Texas last week, and I'm sure Texas is a very special place to celebrate the 4th of July. How are you, Mark?
Good. How are you all? Good morning, listeners. And Texas, Mike, was unbelievable last week. I went down to a governor forum and/Y Texas. Ed Curtis runs Y Texas. And basically what it does is any business moving into town, moving into the state of Texas, he helps them get along. He helps them because they don't have the relationships that you would build over time. But Y Texas and this forum that we did, we showed the American-made movie twice, once at the hotel and then once at the regular forum. And there was 100 CEOs at the forum, and boy, did the American-made movie make a statement. Their number one goal with the movie now is to get it into every school system in the country. They have a new national curriculum, so basically they know by educating, showing people where we were, where we are, and what you can do as a person and just the can-do spirit. So that movie, Mike, really hit the audience. They stood in line to shake my hand. But what I'll say about Texas is, boy, are they proud. Proud of their state, for sure, probably number one, and their country, probably number two. But that state, I never seen so many people. The climate in Texas is what we need in the country. They work together. They have a great plan to bring business in, 1,000 businesses a day. are moving into Texas. 1,000 people a day are moving in. It's incredible. They say about 30 to 40% savings. You can own a house again in Texas. But what they do, they're proud. They've got faith, not only in God, but in each other. And then they've got a sense of humor that you don't see all over. But they work together. The quality of life there is, I was very, very impressed. But very good time in Texas.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've been hearing nothing but great things about Texas. And I did check up on that. And it is true, because people are re-registering their driver's license and everything at a rate of 1,000 a day. And that's really impressive to hear. Larkin, what can we do to bring that kind of enthusiasm to our part of the country?
Well, good morning, Rich, Mark, and Michael. It's so great. I mean, I can hardly put into words how great it is to be back. And not
after that
on the
great
beach.
Vacation, yeah, Lynn wanted to. She said, "Where is he? Maybe I can get down there and have a Mai Tai or something with him."
Yeah, well, it was Bloody Marys in the morning, Mai Tais in the afternoon. But it's good to be back. And I just want to. I have a connection. I have family, and I also, for probably 30 years, did business in Texas. And Texas is a very, very unique state. There's absolutely no question of that. They are as provincial and proud of themselves as any state is anywhere. The only misfortune that they have is that in a state that size, they can't come up with a decent football team, but NFL football team. And if you say that down there, there's a better and even chance you won't make the border. So, but you're right, Mark. Mark, it's a absolutely beautiful state. It has just about everything from ocean to mountains to rivers to desert. I mean, it has a little bit of everything, and it's a great place.
Well, Mark, what exactly is drawing those 1,000 people a day down there?
Yeah, that's a great question, and a lot of business are coming from California. These aren't small businesses. I was with the CEO of Toyota. I was with the head of Caterpillar. I met the president of Caterpillar and the owner. They own the Spurs. These were influential people, all 100 CEOs. A lot of them that came over, some came from Mexico City. Some became, back L1 and got a visa years ago, where, by the way, you needed $50,000 to come into the country. Back then, you had to really have a plan. But they're coming because 30 to 40% savings, no state tax, a lot of incentives. They basically pay you to move there. I think the ultimate, what they're looking for, is 100 employees. But they put their money where their mouth is up front, and then over 5 years, they know, because the families are moving in, they know it's going to help their local stores. They kind of get the whole process that we talk about every day. And I would like to say Texas is one of the only states, I was told, that actually has a treaty with the government. Before they joined the union, the United States, they had a treaty. They negotiated. They're the only state that owns 9 nautical miles out off their shore of their water. Nobody owns it. Why they did that, they own their oil, their refineries. They get to keep the money as a state. It doesn't go to the federal government.
Right.
Very interesting.
Yep, and that is very true. I'll tell you very quickly about Victoria, Texas, where I have a business partner, and I've been probably 3 times in the last year and a half. It's in the middle of nowhere. It really is East Bum Switch, Texas, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. Who landed there 7 months ago? Caterpillar. They built a huge plant, and guess what happened? Now they're building strip malls. Now they're building homes. They're building additional schools. The unemployment rate is like a minus number. It's just absolutely craziness. But Victoria is where a lot of what you're talking about, Mark, is going on.
I'd like to add to that, Larkin. I was taken. It was a privilege to be taken to a brand new facility outside of San Antonio, Texas, the Caterpillar facility. It's 2 million square foot. It's 3 years old. They produce 352 diesel engines a day, from 7-liter to 18-liter. There's no air tools. I thought it was interesting. So you don't hear the noise of the old factory. It's electric tools. Caterpillar is in 50 countries. Again, I met the president, got the tour, 3.5-hour tour. I probably made it 2 hours extra by asking questions. Outstanding facility, a lot of Mexican Americans. But you know what? They work. They work with their hands. They respect their job. They respect family. I was very, very impressed with Caterpillar alone. And they have about 10 plants in Texas.
Yep, and the one in Victoria is assembling road graders, I think. I'm not exactly sure, but to see the yard and the end product, there's, you know, two-story high road graders and earth movers. It's just unbelievable.
And what happened when this Caterpillar company moved this, the Quinn, Texas, right outside of San Antonio, like you said, the schools built across the street, the neighborhood, Caterpillar Cause, they have 2,500 employees. But also, Caterpillar's main theory now, like it used to be globalization, but it is continent of consumption. That's the goal, continent of consumption for these larger companies. That means they can use Mexico, they can use Canada, but stay on the same continent. I thought that was very interesting, too.
That's why I've always loved George Bush's idea of an economy that would include conjoining Mexico, Canada, and United States as one, you know, one our version of a global economy.
Yeah, I like that idea.
I've always had.
You know, Mark, I'm so glad you're talking about that, because we were talking last week with Lynn and about all of the factories and the businesses that left America over the last 35 years. And we see that those buildings are still standing there empty. And there's no way for us to sort of fill them up. And I'm looking to find a way to make a gold rush type of return back to America, back to Philadelphia, back to the region, back to the place where it all began on July 4th, 1776. It's depressing to see so many opportunities missed through poor management. Now, Texas, I've been hearing the same thing that you're saying, that people are moving. Some people told me that their kids moved down. They thought they would only go there for 6 months. Once they moved, 6 years passed, they don't want to return.
Well, you know, it's pro-business, but you can own a house again. Three people I talked to that moved their business, big business, from California, they had trouble because the employees didn't want to leave. You know, their kids didn't want to leave schools or breaking up families. This guy said he couldn't sleep. This Ed was an awesome guy. He owns a computer company. Rich, you'd appreciate. But he had to move. He wanted to move from California to Texas so he could make it, and he couldn't. But he said once he got them to move and they realized they could buy a house again, you know, later, 1 year later, they're thanking him, and it's been an awesome experience because they, you know, they have more more money in their pocket and they can live the dream. So it's really opening up borders where they can live that American dream and really make a difference. The movie, really the American made movie, after that movie, 50 people shook my hands. One guy shook my hand and said, "Mark, I haven't cried since I was in battle. I'm an infantry man." And he said, "That movie touched me because your story resonates with my story and vice versa." So it was awesome to be a part of that. I didn't expect that. And it was just a win-win-win.
Yep. Now, Mark, as you went around and you saw some of the businesses there, what type of businesses exactly would you say they are?
San Antonio, you wouldn't believe it, is heavy, heavy manufacturing, assembly, 80% Hispanics, the machine shop or Caterpillar, but many other businesses, air conditioning, solar panels, a lot more manufacturing than I ever thought right in that area. Just typically, I didn't think of San Antonio as that that area of that sector. Now, if they separated Texas, if Texas was its own country, it would be the 13th strongest economy in the world.
Yep. Is that right?
Yes. That's a fact.
That is a fact.
In 13 years, they're the number one exporter sequentially.
You know, as we talk about this and see Texas moving up, I don't understand what changed in America over the years that the people decided, well, let them go abroad and make all this stuff and we'll just buy it over here. I don't understand the mentality that led to that. Was it national leaders? Did the American people not care anymore and say, as long as it's available to me, who cares?
When you're a 70% consumer economy, and that's what we are. 70% of our economy is consumed by the members of our economy. When you know, at that point, price is really, really very important. And price can sneak up on you. It really can. And, you know, my favorite story about price sneaking up on you is the fact that you pay the same amount of money for a half a gallon of gas, a half a gallon of ice cream right now, as you did 3 years ago. The only problem is it's not a half a gallon.
Yeah, they keep shrinking.
They reduced it by about 20% its size, left the same price tag on it, and they still call it a half a gallon of ice cream. But it doesn't say that on the package.
And you know, one thing I'd like to add, though, that the pride, when I say pride, they're proud of their state. They show me their cufflinks. They show me. They talk state first and country. I just love the pride, and I think we've lost that in the country. They're proud. Like, you know, I said, hey, I have 6,500 Made in America products. Okay, but how many made in Texas? And they actually put me on a spot, you know,
so
10 or 20.
Yeah, did you,
they didn't like that. But they're proud. That pride is something we've got to gain back.
Did you ever get a chance to talk to any of them about their football?
And on my board, the three of us, was Tony McGee, 17 years NFL star, Cowboys, Bengals, and last year was Giants. So he opened up, and you guys will love this. You know, he opened up. He's first, and Chris, the president of Caterpillar, Vincent, the producer of the movie, and then myself. But Tony opened up. They wanted to know what about his logistics business compared to the NFL. He said, well, the NFL, I made $17 million a year the last year on the Cowboys. Every Monday, I got a $1.1 million check. He said, that's the difference of owning a business and it being in an NFL.
But they,
and he was factual, you know.
And what I was referring to most, and you'll never see anything like it. I don't think anywhere, maybe in the SEC when you get around Alabama and Auburn and Georgia, but Texas A&M, Texas Tech. I mean, they refer to that the way we refer to family and religion.
Yes.
I'd like you to meet my brother. This is my brother, Walter. Walter went to Texas A&M.
I mean, one of the heads of Texas Institute was on the other board, not my board, but I did see with Peter Holt, Jr. Now, Peter Holt, Jr. is 27 years old. His dad owns the Spurs, and his great-great-grandfather invented the Caterpillar, the tracked vehicle. Very interesting. And he said the culture, the core value in Texas is ethics, and it's that simple, and that's our state. Core value and Caterpillars. It's that simple. Three
how,
people like
how can we get that enthusiasm to the other 49 states? That's the big to-do.
Yes, that's the question. And, boy, come back and you really get it down there. There's just that pro-business work-together feeling.
Now, Rich, I want to ask you, do you remember what was said 1 year ago during this broadcast before the 4th of July? Rich suggested it's time for us to bring out the whiskey-soaked torches and make some real movement in America to rile up the people. You remember that, Rich?
I remember. I got whiskey in my coffee right now. You know, start celebrating here. Good morning, guys. Lark, and welcome back to the studio.
Thanks.
A few things, Michael. Well, first off, Mark, I was in San Antonio last year. I've been in Houston also prior. Thoroughly enjoyed my visits to Texas. I was in San Antonio last year. Great food. Great place to be overall, and yeah, they got a lot going on. They absolutely do. And Mark, I'm gonna lobby you here on air that I think some of the interviewees from the American-made film, I think would be great guests. In particular, not to single out or leave anyone out, but Bob DeMartini from New Balance. You know, I think he'd be great on here because I recall in that film he was talking about some of the reasons, which he called good reasons, and I agree, some of the good reasons why businesses went overseas. You know, business is not going to wait on how to increase market share, increase profits. When they see an opportunity, businesses are going to go after it. And I think he can really, as someone who's both here and overseas, he's looking at it, he's got a perspective of both. So I'm going to lobby, Mark, that we look to get them on. Given your contact with the directors. And another thing I'll mention, Michael, about the whiskey-soaked torches, 4th of July is always one of my favorite holidays. It's as favorite a holiday of mine as any. And I always like to comment on our vets, you know, to not forget them, both who have served and are serving now for the 4th of July. And there are a lot of reasons why our country sought its independence. But one of the reasons, guys, that it did is because the founders wanted to escape from what essentially amounted to a monarchical government. And I'm going to use this 4th of July over the next couple of years as a precursor that I wonder if we're starting to really entertain this again. There's not a day that goes by that I don't read about a Jeb Bush-Hillary Clinton presidency. And when you have the same families running a country, that essentially is a monarchy, I mean, in a sort of quasi-sense, and we seem to be willing to at least entertain that. And when we have Nick Troiano, who's coming on the show a little bit later, and he's going to talk about some of his recent battles and trying to get on the ballot, I believe that we're looking at this from a perspective of, if the United States, if our voters collectively are looking at electing the same families again, that's a little bit unnerving to me. I mean, I want to go back to the good old days when we had just a duopoly.
You know, Rich, as we were talking 6 months ago, wouldn't it be great if we would at least be able to get one candidate from every state to come together and say, no, I want to be president. Larkin says, I want to be president. Henry says, I want to be president. Rich says, I want to be president. And then we have 50 people to choose from, and then we come together and come down to four or five candidates. But when these people are already pre-announcing Jeb Bush and Hillary and all these others, it takes the heart out of anyone else trying to come forward, because the money is all going to be directed in their corners on the Republican side and on the Democratic side. It doesn't leave any room for anyone else. And as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, when I was speaking to one of the people in Harrisburg, they said, well, if you had a third party, it's going to cut the money up. And I said, well, this is no longer about a money situation. It's about America. Gentlemen, we have a few messages and we'll be back.
Download the Go for USA mobile app from the iTunes Store today. This is an online database which helps you pinpoint where to purchase American-made goods and allows consumers to upload product information simply by scanning the UPC code. Consumers eager to help create American jobs by searching for and buying U.S.-made products and services now have what they need in the palm of their hand. These platforms will access the same product, manufacturer, and retailer information available today and which continues to grow from the dedicated efforts of the Mobile Army. Download this great app from the App Store today and help us help each other. Buying American-made keeps American jobs. The Go for USA app will be released for the Android market very shortly. This great app is a free download the 3-day 4th of July weekend. Pat's Auto Tax has three convenient locations to serve you in the Philadelphia area. Stop into 2536 East Allegheny Avenue in Fort Richmond, which has same-day direct link service with the DMV. Call them today at 215-427-1832. They also have a location at 5501 Harbison Avenue at the corner of Harbison and Sanger Streets, 215-533-2220. And their location at 400 East Allegheny Avenue, where you can contact their on-site insurance broker, Mr. Cliff Hutchins, who represents Progressive and 10 other insurance companies. Call them today at 215-423-5266. For more information, give them a call or stop in at any of their convenient locations and tell them that we sent you. Stan's Health Foods, located at 7161 Frankfort Avenue in Philadelphia, specializes in bodybuilding supplements, health and beauty supplies, vitamins, all-natural pet products, gluten-free foods, herbs, teas, and much more. Visit them online at stanshealthfoods.com. Stop into their location or call them at 215-332-4577 for more information. The Tri-State Media Network is a radio, internet, and newspaper advertising service available to hundreds of thousands of readers and listeners throughout the Tri-State area. They promote advertisers on their internet and Facebook pages, as well as here on 860 AM. Visit them today at www.tristatemedianetwork.com or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/tristatemedianetwork. Call them today at 215-829-9200 for more information on their advertising services.
And ladies and gentlemen, as we continue our pre-Independence Day celebration, I want to say thank you to all of our panelists and each of our advertisers who supports us. Also, thanks them for their endless efforts to promote American Made. I'm also going to ask that you check out our internet site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, where you'll see all of our efforts. This coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is National Small Business Weekend, so go out and support all of your local businesses and make sure you let them know that you're supporting National Small Business Weekend. And also, you'll find information about Mark Andel's store, Goat for USA, and so many other special items up on the front page of our internet site. And also, greetings to you and yours as we prepare for Independence Day. For Leon, from Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, Mr. Kshanowski from Serena's Auto Body Shop, from the Net Cost Market, from the PRCUA, Michael Steinman, attorney at law, also from Dr. Eva Machak with two offices in Philadelphia, from Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, and from Polka Deli at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue and the Polish American Travel Service in Philadelphia, as well as Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. And also from Mr. Martin Bednarek, who is the president of the Washington Savings Bank, and they're located in Philadelphia, as well as from Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, from Karen Janad from State Farm Insurance, as well as from Dr. Wojciech Zin of Everest Dental, and from Mr. Frank Spula, national president of the Polish National Alliance. All of them join with us in wishing you a very enjoyable 4th of July. Make sure you go out and celebrate America, because we are fighting for America. And as I said many times before, until movements like American Workers Need You and American Workers Radio that keep the ball rolling, the media, organizations, individuals, and so many others sort of just sat back and watched and didn't have much to say or do. But now that they see that we are working so closely together, they're really impressed and starting to join our cause. So make sure you speak up wherever you shop and let the people know that you're a supporter of Buy American. Well, I know that we're going to have Nick joining us in a little bit, but first I wanted to go back to Rich and ask Rich, what's the latest that you've been hearing down your neck of the woods as far as jobs and growing economy in Florida?
Well, the state of Florida, guys, you know, there's been some construction near Orlando, elsewhere throughout the state, where the state of Florida's employment perspective isn't looking quite as bad as it was at one time. There's a lot, Michael, going on down here, and ultimately it's what we want to see. And one of the great things to me, always one of the greatest things about being an American, is that you talk about whiskey-soaked torches, Michael. We talk about this. One of the great things about being here is, while I joke about that, we don't ultimately really have to do that. We have the abilities, if we choose to use them, to really enact change as voters, as consumers. You know, Mark, every day, right, you're working on adding products to your store. You know, Larkin, you're working with small businesses to get them up and running, to create competition. And the thing is, Michael, I believe with our elections, if given the opportunity to succeed, because our elections as they are now are directly, and Nick will talk about this, they're directly essentially manufactured to keep others out. Theoretically, others can run like Nick's doing. People can do write-in votes, et cetera. But what the duopoly has attempted to do, and I think quite effectively succeeded in this, is to make it extremely, extremely difficult, almost virtually impossible to break into that system. So any breaking into it, Michael, and any whiskey-soaked torch movements, it's going to have to come from the voters.
The people, right.
That's one of the primary reasons that our founders sought their independence, was to have that ability.
Now, we're going to be having a number of events. As you know, our broadcast is from Philadelphia. We're going to be having a number of events celebrating Independence Day in America. And of course, I hope that people in the process, we'll start talking more about the American-made issue. I know that some of the tourists that come to historic Philadelphia are looking at labels because they're raising hell at our visitor center, that all the beautiful shirts with great American flags and eagles and everything on it are all made abroad. Now, Mark, if I ask you, would you be able to change that reality?
Yeah, on more shirts, Mike?
Yes.
Here.
Do you have a lot of shirts there with the American flag and the eagle? I know Lynn was eyeing up your shirt, the Made in America store shirt, last week.
We have a lot more than we did 4 years ago, and it is on, it's from a vertical mill. There's only two left in the country that's 100% made in America. We've got a lot of neat shirts. We got this new company that they do anagrams, which you can read. It'll say country one way, and the other way it'll say, freedom. It's really neat. So we got some really neat shirts. We're always getting more, but there's always something you can do with the flag. I just like to get back to Mike with this holiday coming up. A lot of people, you got to make sure you put your flag up. My godson is a C-17 pilot. He's overseas as we speak. I'm real proud of him. He's now flying drones, but he's overseas. He's away from his family. He's got a newborn here. And I got to meet Marcus Luttrell back in April. He's the Navy SEAL Team 6, lost his three buddies in the movie Lone Survivor, explains it all. But to meet him, what an honor these heroes go through, past, present, and future. But I think everybody needs to take some time this weekend, even have a beer, have a drink for him. But, I mean, our freedom, you just can't forget these guys that are in harm's way every day, every night to keep us safe.
And, Mark.
Yeah, we got to remember them, Mark, as I mentioned. We got to remember the vets for 4th of July. Yes, it's a celebration of our independence, but those guys and those men and women, both.
You know what I mean, Rick. I mean, sometimes we talk about, but this is happening today. And it's tough over there. There's a lot going on.
And as we look at the difficulties taking place in different parts of the world, we have to start appreciating more of the independence and all of the goodness that we have around us. And that has to reflect also in the ability of people to have jobs and be able to support themselves. I went out the other day, one of my constituents asked me to buy her a new alarm clock. So I went to three stores in search. I went to Target. I went to Kmart, and I also went to Walmart, and believe me, they don't want to see me at Walmart too often. But I went in and looking for the clock, and every clock is made in China. It was just showing Larkin. Now, we always had clocks made in the USA. In fact, the alarm clock that I use is made in the USA. What the hell happened? That clock is only about 18 years old. All of a sudden, Big Ben and everybody else is made in China.
And Rich, Mike, Rich just mentioned, people power. How much power the people have. Get involved, vote, do your part. But one country, one goal. And I think that's what Texas has. One state, one goal. Get healthy, get self-sufficient. And that's what we have to do as one. Like you said, we've built quality products. We can build them. We just added like four or five products to our store. The light bulb, of course, people appreciate. And then we just ordered some glow sticks that people didn't know they're made here. And then even a bungee, a simple bungee you use to hold your cargo down. We finally got 100% made in America one. That'll last a long time, but leading with quality. So it's so important, and I think, Mike, you do it best. You complain everywhere, right?
Everywhere I go, believe me, they know me. Even my daughter, she's so disgusted. They walk in a store with me. They want to run the other day. As soon as we walk in, they head to other aisles because they know I'm going to bring something up.
But you know what? Flying across the country last week, stopping in Atlanta, back home, that U.S. soccer team, that brought everybody together. I don't care where I went, there was a flag somebody was waving, a shirt being worn. That's pretty neat that something, that pride started to show up again.
Yes, it
and
is.
I love to see that. And that was in Texas. That was anywhere. I didn't care where you were. Even a German doing a speech with me said, boy, his buddies back in Germany were picking on him that they beat us last week. But it was neat to see that when we come together. It's like a brother after brother, even if you didn't talk too much, but you got his back, right?
Exactly. And Soldier Field was filled with people, Kansas City's.
You've seen it, Larkin. You know what I mean?
It's unbelievable the provincial spirit that produced amongst
neat.
Americans. It really was neat, and I found it so refreshing because you don't see that kind of unity very often.
Exactly.
Or it's what we need to bring back. As I said to my wife, wouldn't it be cool if they could have beat Belgium? They were not the better team, but they sure didn't give up. I mean,
my son said it was awesome. I mean, the goalie said hats off to. I guess what in a double overtime or whatever. I didn't follow.
Tim Howard stopped 16 shots.
Was it that? My son said it was awesome.
16 shots, and that's the most shots stopped by a goalie since, I think, 1950, exactly. 1940.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have to say this about Pennsylvania. At least many of our state representatives and our state senators are starting to promote the American-made movement. They're promoting American Workers Radio. They're offering proclamations. They have letters going out. They have special presentations going out right before National Small Business Weekend to let them know, if their constituents know, that they're supporting local. But there's still not the enthusiasm as the people in Texas. How do we bring that? To start it off in Pennsylvania, then move it to New Jersey and expand it in Pennsylvania and expand it. How does that happen? I don't understand.
But, Mike, like the soccer game, we're a team. The United States is a team. You can have other teams. And that's great. It's okay to love your country. You know, that's where I think some people get confused. It's okay. You know, we can get healthy, self-sufficient, continue to help everybody in the world, work globally. But still, you got to really take care of your home first.
You know, I was out at the store, and I went to three stores, and I'm talking about the clock. I went to the manager, and I started complaining about the clock, and every one of them told me the same thing. So I don't know if they're schooled appropriately or whatever. If products were available and they were able to supply our store distribution system with the level of products that we need to keep them on the shelf, we would have more American-made products, which tells me that there's something lacking in the American distribution system, that they're not going to the bigger chains, because we have to accept the reality that in America, the big stores and the small stores all have to work together. You should have like products at a big store, or at least some of the products, and the same thing at a local store, because I'm seeing now that people are starting to direct more of their business to local stores. And of course, this is the first weekend of the month coming up, so please do support National Small Business Weekend, and you can direct people to our site by going to nationalsmallbusinessweekend.com. Now, Larkin, you were down in the Carolinas. How was the economy down there?
Well, you know what? It's healthier for some odd reason, and I'm not exactly sure. I drove through an awful lot of small bohunk towns, really, really, really small towns. But every one of them seemed to have a cottage industry that belonged to them. Was exceptionally amazed by the town, and I knew I'd forget it, and I forget its name, off of 721 on my way actually to the ocean. And they house Smithfield Meat Products. And I mean, those plants are big and beautiful and clean. And selling an awful lot of ham worldwide. It's I guess we go into a different area altogether when we talk about food. When we got to the beach, one of the funny things that happened, my wife had realized that she had bought a little knickknack, a water cannon or whatever, for each of the grandchildren and the great aunt, you know, little aunts, cousins, and all the little tykes. And we forgot the 11-year-old, so I thought, we'll buy him a kite. So we pulled into Kmart about 5 miles from the beach, and I walked in, and I said to the manager, who I don't know if he was the manager, but he was standing right there at the front door, I said, I need a kite that's made in America. And he went, oh, really? He kind of looked at me like that the remark made absolutely no sense. But he showed me where the kites were. I walked over, I pulled the first kite out, made in America.
Beautiful.
And I just said this. Amen.
Was it a box kite, Larkin?
And no, it was not a box kite.
Because I have a box kite. I don't have a regular kite. I wonder who makes that one. Yeah.
It was a vinyl, looked like a bird type, you know, with wings on it. And it was made in America.
Very good. See, that cheers me to hear that. So everyone listening, if you are going to the shore, There's no reason for you not to pick up a nice kite if you're going down the on Atlantic City, or you're going to Wildwood or Ocean City. All those stores sell kites. Make sure you ask them for an American-made kite so that we can help that business expand.
Now, the conclusion to that story is there wasn't a heck of a lot else in that store that was made in America. It's really kind of amazing.
I thought maybe there wasn't any wind for you, Larkin.
No. What wind was absent, I created.
You know, last week when Lynn was here, she was talking about many of the businesses that she saw change over when she was part of the Redevelopment Authority of Philadelphia. One of the things that I asked her about afterwards is, was there anything that could make change happen? And of course, one of the things is, yes, we have to sit down and get technology up to where it is. From what I'm understanding from some of our industries that moved abroad is, instead of us revitalizing what we have here, we just allowed those industries to move, and the new technology was started over there. One of the companies told me that they got machinery from Germany. They opened up, they expanded this big market of all an American brand now made in China. And he said, there is no reason whatsoever it couldn't be made in America, but we decided we would make the investment for our people to have a job. Bottom line.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, one person I met, this Lulu, came right from Mexico, and she'd seen the screening the first time down in Texas, and afterwards she cried to me. I said, oh, why are you upset? And she said, no, it reminds me of my story. Your movie just made me think about where I came from. So she said 30 years ago or better, she got an L-1 visa and wanted to leave Mexico. The rest of the family didn't, but she said you had to save $50,000. You came to Mexico. I said, why did you come to America? And I love to ask her that. And usually it's because of opportunity. She said, no, curiosity. She said, remember, in Mexico, we always wanted Made in America gifts, number one, quality. They were leading the trends in fashion. So we always looked for Made in America. There was a black market. So she said she moved as a young girl by herself and got her visa and started a business which was making making Jell-O. I called it Jell-O. She's called it gelatin. It was her grandmother's recipe. And then she wanted to put it, but she wanted it done. She wanted the Jell-O ready to go. And so she made it, and she started selling it out of her house in down in California. And then she grew that business. She supplies Walmart now. Why she was in Texas, she just moved her business from California to Texas. But it was really quite an American story. She loves this country. I said, why didn't the rest of your family come? She said, they won't forget the Alamo. And she was serious.
You know, just to add something, because I know this about San Antonio, that town originally, its first boom was a boom making it a tourist destination around the Alamo and the Riverwalk and all of that stuff.
Riverwalk's beautiful.
Isn't it unbelievable? I mean, it's...
It's hard to explain.
Yes, it's impossible to explain. But
you know, Mark, as you're saying that, there's something I wanted to ask you. When you were down there, how were things in Texas 10 years ago? Larkin, you should know that.
Yeah, they've been leading for 13 years the export and the economy. You know, from what it's shifted where manufacturing is really becoming stronger and stronger every day right now, which I was really shocked. One thing, the heat is, I mean, when I came out of the Caterpillar plant, that heat hits you, and 92 there is cool.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to run air conditioners all the time. So there is a utility. You might not have to snowplow or run your electric heating bills, but you still have to live pretty well in air conditioning.
The reason I'm asking you is, did something change there in the last 20 years?
Not really. They've always been really, really pro-business and provincial at that. But you can go back as far as Ann Richards when she was governor. They were just pro-business. We could build a service station in East Bumswich, Texas, and it would take us a day and a half to get all of the proper zoning and to submit our plans and get them approved. You try that. You try that in Philadelphia, and it'll take you 4 years.
4 years. You know, we discussed about getting all the governors together. In fact, I even made a suggestion to have all the governors come to Philadelphia and let them talk. What are we going to do to spur new industries in our individual states? You just can't get these people together. They're all politicking.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. The governor, Rick Perry, there, you know, he's been in, I think, 16 years or so, but they said because they like them. You know, most of these people, they're all working together to try and come up with plans to help business. It makes sense. They said the things they're doing right now, they'll give you the money to move in. But, yes, in 5 years they have a plan that they'll make it back because of the people you're bringing with you, the families, the disposable income that's going to be sent, you know, spent there. It seems like they just work together. It makes sense. And I was talking to 100 different, you know, people.
So they're not down there passing laws about the minimum wage because they know that wages take care of themselves in that kind of an environment.
That's what Caterpillar joked about. They said they're talking about this minimum wage. I pay everybody $15 at start.
Right. Now, Rich, is that the legislature down there part-time or full-time?
Well, so there's 15-20% of the jobs in the state of Florida, Michael, are part-time.
But how about the elected officials? Is that a part-time legislature, Larkin?
I believe it is.
Because I think that's maybe what we need in more places. Yeah. A part-time legislature where they come together less and stop taxing us more.
And Rich, Vincent, the director of the American-Made Movie, is moving from California back down to Fort Lauderdale, not too far from you, just so you know that. I just found that out last week.
Oh, no kidding, really?
Yeah, he's got family.
I want to get drunk and pitch him my movie idea.
Yeah, there you go. And Chris Harvey said you had talked to him. He wants to talk to you again. I reminded him. So
get him good and drunk.
I'm going to get Chris on the radio, I think, Rich, talk about the new plan and how he wants it in schools and the curriculum. I think it's really interesting.
Well, we certainly have a lot of new things going to be coming up in the next few weeks. But I want to let you know that I do have a few people I want to bring on in the future. Few of them are state senators from the great state of Pennsylvania who really have come on to the idea that we have to improve industry here in Pennsylvania, and maybe we can even ask them to do some research as to why all these good things happened in Texas and what can be done to duplicate that here in the good state, the good Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, because we have so much land. When people tell me that they're spending $9 a gallon for gas in Europe, I say, yeah, that's true. But in Europe, the land mass is very small, and you don't have the number of taxes in Europe as we do here in the USA. By the time every dollar that you pay, Larkin, is you have to pay from what you receive in your paycheck. You then have to pay sales tax, property tax, tolls to go over the bridge, parking. Those are all just another way of taxing you. You buy something at the store, you eat, you're taxed. You go on a vacation, you go on a ride on the plane, you're taxed. You drive on a toll road, that's a tax. Everything is in tax. So by the time you walk out with your weekly amount of money, you're taxed to death again after being taxed on earning the money in the first place.
Wow. You know, you're preaching to the choir on taxes.
Yeah, Rich said that he wants to pay more taxes. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I want to pay 110% everything I earn. 110.
Donate it all.
You know, I mean, in a monarchy, you have serfs and you have royalty, right? So only makes sense.
Well, I got news for you. I'm Irish, which makes me royalty.
And you know, Michael, the whiskey-soaked torches, I have to... Lest I cause any confusion with anything, I understand that Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush aren't the nominees now, and they may not be. It's more to the point that I'm the crazy guy here who actually does check every day in the media to see if Hillary and Jeb, whom I'm going to both work on both of their campaigns. That's what I'm going to plan on doing. I'm going to work on both of their campaigns because I want it to get worse before it gets better, so I can tell everybody they've elected a monarchy. I check
Hey Rich, aren't the Sunnis and the Shiites, aren't that 2,000 years ago, isn't that what they're fighting about? One wants one wants qualified people, and way back
I'm going to get them in, Mark. That's what we're going to do. Right. And I, as much as I joke about this, on one hand, I'm not really, though, either, because regardless of whether they become nominees or not and run, the fact is, you know, we've had a Clinton and Bush around since 1980. I understand Hillary Clinton's not in office now, but she was a cabinet member, and she almost was a nominee in 08. And now, of course, she and Jeb are in the media every day. I check every day, guys, and I'll tell you, there's not a day that goes by we don't hear mention of them. This poll says this, this poll says that. So we're at least entertaining it.
You know, maybe we should start a new show like America's Got Talent or something, and start having the political people come on and give their spiel individually. The last time we had all those 12 people standing before the podiums and all, that was too boring. Maybe we should put them up, and then people vote in advance who they would like to see go on to the next step. What do you think of that idea, Rich?
Well, I think, Michael, that we talk a lot about federal level officials, president, the Congress. The fact is that the change that we talk about, the voter and consumer empowerment that we talk about so often, can be done at all levels. It doesn't have to just start at the very top. And the thing is, I believe if elections were truly opened up, the tenets that make a free market work, which is competition that can improve quality, increase accessibility. I believe those tenets of the free market would actually translate into our elections. Because the thing, Michael, what if we had it, like your point is, what if we had a candidate from each state? I'm not necessarily opposed to that. The way a free market would work, though, is we're going to allow those who can qualify to get on ballots, assuming the entry onto the ballot is even, we're going to see over time those who want to do this. So it's not so much an obligation, it's truly a want. And let's be honest, guys, now, especially at the federal level, I mean, getting elected in the Congress, if I had a choice between a position in Congress or a lottery ticket, not knowing how much that winning lottery ticket was for, I'd probably take the congressional seat.
Hey, why not?
And I bet you most Americans would, too.
It came up as a topic last week, which means that it was an inter-family conversation. And I won't pin the member of the family that I had the conversation with, but she's not a direct relative. I mean, she's not my son or daughter, thank God. But I made a comment about term limits, and she said, why would you do that? You get somebody that's really good in Congress, why don't you keep them there? And I told my Charlie Rangel story, which is one of my favorite stories, of borrowing $125 to get sworn in 26 terms ago to buy a suit so he could get sworn in. Now he's worth $8.5 million, owns 5 properties, 2 offshore. And that's, you know, there's just a long list of them. And she said, that's not what bothers me. If I could change something tomorrow, I would change all this outrageous money they're paying these corporate CEOs. And I thought, you know what? I'm really arguing with with somebody that only is using half their brain.
You know, Larkin, as you say that, I thought to myself, maybe we should ask candidates to come forward, and there's no compensation during their term as president. They're giving something to their country.
Well, I think you would considerably reduce the number of people that would walk away from a functioning business or give up a job that was paying well to be a member of Congress. So,
well, their functioning business could stay there, but as long as they weren't being paid to be president.
Hey, I don't mind paying them. I just don't want to pay them for more than 2 terms.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
And Larkin, you know, when we had Congressman Runyon on last month, or May, rather, and his point was a valid point. You know, term limits sort of theoretically exist through elections.
Right.
My follow-up to that, though, is the whole lesser of two evil thing. I mean, when you're in our elections, on average, we have choice. Why is it, though, that those alternative, and I would say probably oftentimes better alternatives, though not perfect, usually don't get the votes? Well, it's pretty simple. Well, you know, Larkin, I'm not going to vote for so-and-so. He can't win. She can't win. It's a vote taken from this person, vote taken from that person. Our elections have been structured to exactly create that kind of what I call essentially voter fear, that when they get to the polls. And Congressman Runyon is correct about what he said. I agree that, yes, we have elections. But the thing is, Michael, whiskey-soaked torches, You see, we're either going to just keep taking what they give, despite the fact that the majority of the country – you ever notice how much pride someone tells you when you ask him or her? If I'm an independent. I mean, he's like, dude, he sticks his chest out, you know? And he's like, yeah, I'm an independent. And he says it real proud. I don't see that translating into the votes, though.
What you know, what you say is 100% right, but you have to add to that, and I use as an example our good friend in Virginia, who was the House Majority Leader, who lost a primary election, and everybody's trying to analyze it was the Tea Party's fault, it was this fault, he didn't show up, he didn't, la, la, la. But one of the fundamental problems with that election was the fact that 15% of the electorate showed up. 15% of the people created that upset. So what happened was, and I apologize for not being able to remember his name, out of sight, out of mind, he just didn't really get the vote out. He didn't get his voters out. They thought, well, he'll get elected. I'll go out and reelect him in the general election. And when 15% of the vote shows up and you're one of two people on the ticket, if you can get your people out, it doesn't take a real big head count to beat the guy you're running against.
Larkin, what's happening is when I was in Harrisburg a few weeks ago, the political parties would fight any new party. I could see it firsthand. That has to come from a grassroots level. People have to say, no, we are going to be behind Larkin Connolly, period. And no matter what, on election day, we're going out to vote for him, whether this party likes it or that party doesn't like it. It has to come to some kind. What Ross Perot actually did is he helped bring many matters to the table that would not have been discussed if it had just been the two candidates.
No question.
Yes, and it was a loss. But, Michael, I was 15 in that election. Excuse me, Larkin. And it's why I say all the time, Ross Perot is the most – unless we want to count Abraham Lincoln as a third party, which is somewhat accurate and somewhat inaccurate, he's our most influential, certainly in the modern era, third party candidate.
Well,
despite the fact he received not a single electoral vote, the two parties got so scared, you know what, that they changed the structure of the debates, they changed the standards by which non-Republicans and Democrats get into the debates. Ross Perot did an immense amount to create, but we kind of lost that, though, right? And then you went from 92 to 2000 with Clinton, then we went to a Bush. Now we might be back to a Clinton or a Bush again. So that came from voter interest that did translate in the polls. Ross Perot got a lot of votes in 92, and of course made it much. It was much more difficult for him in 96.
Well, you know, we also don't elect people. We elect people because of how they look and how they dress and how they present themselves. We really don't elect people anymore on issues. And when you talk about a third party, I've never heard more disparaging stuff said by anybody the way I've heard people talk about the Tea Party. And you know, the stupid, lousy conservatives. Well, guess what? The Tea Party is a third party that's come out of nowhere.
Gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, we're getting closer and closer to our celebration of the 4th of July. As we listen to Kate Smith singing in the background, I want to wish you and yours the very best. In behalf of Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and myself, Michael Blihash, and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and also Steve Smolchinski, I want to say thank you for all that you're doing to support American. Make sure you do what I do when you go shopping. Never miss an opportunity to ask questions, ask why there's not more available at the store. It's what puts people on guard and actually makes good things happen. Have a happy 4th of July. God bless you all.
Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Take care, guys. Have a good weekend.